Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Thursday afternoon, just before Friday, Monday morning podcast, and I'm just checking in on you. How the fuck are you? I don't have time. I don't have time for your fucking shit today, eh? I got people coming in town to see my daughter, right? So I got a bunch of shit I have to do. You know when you got family, the fucking family back east. We're having problems with the family back east.
What movie?
We're having problems with the family back east.
The vaguest fucking mafioso line ever. I'm not going to say, you know, because I don't want to shit on the fucking writers. I'm not going to shit on people that I'm in this industry, sort of. That was the laziest fucking writing ever. He's sort of a mob guy, and they're having problems with the family back east. How far east? You're in L.A.? Are you having problems with the family in Nevada?
Having problems with the family back east.
I'm in construction. Oh! It's not that movie. All right. Anyways, it's not the one you think. It was more recent. And they evidently, from what I gathered from the writing, was they were having problems with the family back east. Sorry, I'm going to kill this thing here. Anyways, you know, when you got fucking relatives coming out, you know what the deal is. You got to fucking clean your house up. You know, you got to get all spiffy. Go out and get a haircut. If you're me, you shave it down, right? You're looking at him like, huh? I'm successful. I'm doing well, right? You got to take him to all these fucking spots. You got to try to impress people. You know, kind of hit me yesterday as I was scampering. You know, something I don't do a lot, scampering. Something usually a marsupial does up a tree, I believe. Scampering around the house, just trying to fucking make it look like I don't live in a world of clutter. And at one point, I'm just like, Bill, nobody gives a shit about you. Nobody is coming out to see you. Nobody gives a fuck what you're doing. It's all about your daughter. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is perfect. She's the headliner. I'm just hosting. Hey, how's everybody doing? You want a burger? Boom. Let's keep this show moving right along. With the act you all came here to see, my lovely daughter. That's all I got to do. All I have to do is host the show. Host the show. As long as she's cute, which she can't help. As long as she smiles, which she can't help. That's all she does is smile and laugh. She's the fucking greatest kid ever. I'll be fine. So there you go. Why am I trying to do all the dishes? You know what's funny? All you really do whenever you have company over, you have like that one fucking closet you throw everything in, or maybe one closet in every room. You just take all of the clutter and you just throw it into the closet. Like for some reason, there's this pressure that your house has to look like, you know, like a showroom at a furniture store. Like, we don't have any knickknacks. We are living a minimalist lifestyle. Everything is neat and is in order. Everything is in its proper place. Harmony is what you're experiencing here. We never fight. There's never a look, crossword. Yeah, you can't live up to it. So I just decided I got to a certain level of clean. I'm like, all right, this is what it looks like, you know? What are you going to do? Oh, God, I'm still nervous. Anyways, let's get down to the fucking tacks that are brass here. Oh, boy. The city of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia. Oh, they're mourning today. Jesus Christ. I actually went to a cigar bar with Josh Adam Myers. And this is how big a hockey fan I am. The Celtics were playing the Wizards yesterday, game 5. I thought it was game 6. I got lost with all the sleep deprivation from old cutie cakes downstairs, right? We went in the cigar bar and we were watching the game 7. And in between periods, we click in to the Celtics. I know Bradley had a huge game. I know that the Wizards went up like 4-0 and then that was it. We gave them the old right there, Fred, and kept our foot on their neck. Right? So that was the biggest night in Washington, D.C. sports perhaps ever. I had fun because I woke up because I was supposed to, yesterday, I woke up early, and I was supposed to call Regina, Saskatchewan. because I'm going up there for some shows. I don't know where the fuck I'm going. I think I'm in Winnipeg, and then I'm driving all the way up to fucking Saskatoon, which is like an 8.5 hour drive, and I'm doing it. And everybody's like, oh, you don't go fucking Tiger Shit, a bunch of farms. I don't give a shit. I'm going to have a great time. Me and Nick Craig, we're going to go up. There's got to be some sort of ice cream store or some fucking stupid tourist attraction along the way. And even if there isn't, who gives a shit? I like driving that stuff, seeing it, that it exists. I did the drive one time from California to El Paso, Texas. And it's one of the great drives I've ever did, especially, I don't know if it was in Arizona or in New Mexico, when you just get into the Badlands. I always thought the Badlands meant, you know, some, you know, badass dudes live there. And it's just bad as far as, like, you can't grow anything. It's like scorched earth. It's like basically the direction we're headed in. If we keep fucking, and I don't know, if you believe fucking Al Gore, I mean, I tend to believe a man who invented the internet, you know. Anyways, so we're going to be doing that drive. And so I had to call because they added another show in Regina, because who the fuck ever goes to Saskatchewan? You know, nobody. So people are excited, like, holy shit, this guy's not my favorite, but he fucking showed up. Let's go. Right? We're having problems with the family back east. So they added a second show. So now I gotta put on my top hat and my tails, and I got to fucking sell it. So I'm waiting to call the radio. This is such a long story. So I'm thinking in my head right now, I'm like, wow, this is the biggest day in Washington, D.C. sports history. I should call the fucking sports junkies. I'm going to do it. I called in, talked to Lurch and everybody, and I thought the Capitals were going to win. I just thought how badly they beat the Penguins in game six. I just thought that they were shutting down their offense. The Penguins were frustrated, you know? I knew the fucking Flower there was gonna have a good game, but I just thought they just needed to break the seal. They had to get that one. Give him a little bit of happy feet. Give him something to fucking think about. So I called in there. Then I called in Randy Bauman and Bill Crawford at WDVE. And I wasn't a cunt on either one of them. My team's out of it. I'm not going to try to be a killjoy. You know, this is the deal. I don't know what happened. I used to hate the fucking Penguins. I don't anymore. It's a combination that they don't really have any, like, overtly cheap fucking knee breakers anymore. And I got a lot of friends that either live in Pittsburgh or, you know, out here that are from there. Fucking Bartnick. I can't root against Bartnick. So I go to the cigar bar, and I'm watching it with fucking Josh Adam Myers. And he's just like, you know, I said, look, dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I hope you go 1-1. I want the Celtics to win, and I'm going to root for the Capitals. I'm sitting here with you. I'll fucking root for them. You know, secretly, I'm like, well, if they don't win, I'm happy for fucking Randy and Crawford and Bartnick and those guys. What do I care? My fucking team's not in it. So we sit there, and Josh is fucking losing his shit, and it was just unbelievable. You know, I call him the Flower all the time. I forget his fucking name already. Marc-Andre Fleury. What a fucking game he had. They just, oh my God, fucking Caps, they're just snake bit. Even when they had the guy beat, even when they had him fucking beat, they just couldn't get it on the, it was wide open, and they kicked the fucking thing, and they just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. But I have to tell you right now, Game 7 NHL playoffs, I will put that up against any sport out there. The NHL playoffs, you know, and I actually totally missed the Edmonton Ducks one because I had to go and I had to do a couple of shows. And I thought I taped the game, and I fucked up. I didn't, so I'm going to have to go on the NHL app today and rewatch that game, knowing full well that the Ducks won, which I had a feeling they were going to do. I just thought they had a little more experience. They'd been there and that type of shit. So, fucking Josh, Jesus Christ. He was just like, you know, by the end of it, he was just like, you know what, fuck this. He goes, I'm just going to stress eat a fucking large pizza, and I'm going to go home and watch Cops. I don't know. Having said that, I still don't have confidence, you know, with the Celtics and the Wizards. I have no idea. Like, this is a weird series. It kind of seems like the teams are going to hold serve, you know, and hopefully that happens and we'll win a game seven. I have no idea. But just watching, like, a DC sports fan, it reminds me, I mean, I always have empathy for all of those people because that was my life right up until basically 2004. I guess the Patriots had already won one at that point. But, yeah, that was kind of my life as a sports fan for the longest fucking time. So my condolences to the city of Washington, D.C. Still got the Wizards. You're not out of it. Congratulations to Pittsburgh. Oh, this is going to kill me to say this. Congratulations to Anaheim. Whatever you are down there. Whatever that is, Orange County, whatever the fuck that is down there. I don't even, it's just one of the most soulless fucking places I've ever, maybe, you know what, I'm judging the place. I always drive down there, you know, to do the improv or whatever. Bought my hockey stuff down there. They got fucking Disneylands down there. It's just, I don't know what it is. It just looks like a giant movie set. It doesn't look like, it's like when I went to San Jose and they had that little mall area where they had all that high-end shit. They try to make it look vaguely fucking, I don't know, European. And you're just like, this is, was clearly all built at the same time and there's no history here. I don't know what happened because I read Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up. I had the hardcover original version. I loaned it to my neighbor and I never got it back. What a fucking asshole. That still bugs me that I did that. But he was talking about how he grew up in Orange County and riding his bicycle to Disneyland past all the orange groves. And just the way he painted the picture, I was like, wow, that sounded like a beautiful place. And now you go down there and it's just, you know, one fucking strip mall after another. I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, human beings have done a lot of, a lot of unprotected sex since then. And just kind of pushed the oranges out. Really, Bill, is that what happened? I mean, evidently, as far as I can surmise. Anyway, so I did two shows last night, did a benefit at the Laugh Factory, and I did the All Things Comedy Network show at the Comedy Store, and I had also done a show Monday night where I ran the whole hour. And at the risk of sounding like a fucking bald, arrogant cunt, the new hour is crushing. I'm having a great time. Somewhere in the, during those Cleveland shows, it put me over the top, and now I have confidence that people aren't going to feel like they're getting ripped off when they go to see me. So, anyways, I don't know. I got a bunch of fucking shit on my mind because I got to go down to the fucking airport. I got to pick up some. I got to pick up the family back east. Oh, by the way, my apologies to MotoGP fans. I didn't even know there was a race this past week, and I went on to my my DVR, whatever the hell you call it, and lo and behold, there it is. You know, and the way my wife just watches whatever the hell she wants and now deletes it, I didn't feel like I had to include her. Not like she likes motorcycle racing or anything. So I believe they were in Spain. I just sat there with my daughter, and I watched all three races back-to-back. The Moto 2, the 3, and the fucking GP race. And they were all fucking great races. You know what's funny? At first, I didn't like Moto 3 with their little skinny bicycle tires. Now I'm fucking into it. All three of them were great races. The Moto 2, I think the Moto 2 was the one where the guy in the lead fucking just dumped a bike. He fucked up coming out of a turn. And then the other guy, it was just up to him not to blow it. And, I don't know. I loved all of it. And I'm just watching the MotoGP race. All of a sudden, it goes up towards like 1,000 cc's. Valentino Rossi having hey, Nini. Hi. What's up?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm flailing over here. I got like another 16 minutes to go, and I'm so stressed, and I got to go to the fucking airport.
Why are you stressed?
Then I'm all over the map. Valentino Rossi, that was so weird watching everybody pass him. He had problems with like his tires. This is why this guy's the shit. He's been doing it for so fucking long. I even know who this guy is. And he came in 10th place and he's still in first place. That's pretty goddamn impressive this early into the season. And I kind of became a fan of that Johan Zarco. I like the bike, all black, and he just was fucking passing everybody. He ended up being in, I don't know what he finished, like fourth maybe? He's a French guy. I like the French, you know? I don't know, but I'm totally into it. I don't know any of the fucking names. I know Marc Marquez, right? That's it. I'm looking at all these other names. I got them all, a whole list here. I could pretend like I know these guys off the top of my head. I don't. I have no idea who any of these guys are. But But I will tell you, like, I mean, if you think racing is boring, motorcycle racing is a good one to start with because, you know, if you're not into racing, you want to see some crashes. And, you know, motorcycle racing is this. I mean, literally the guy, just imagine with every fucking stock car race, every time there was an accident, the guy like flew out of the car. I mean, I'm not sitting there saying I want to see anybody get hurt, but I mean, it is riveting. It's just fast. Like, first of all, the level of technology of the suit that they can be going like 150 miles an hour, lay the bike down. You know, they lean too far. They fucking hit their knee or some shit. I don't know what happens. The handlebar hits the ground. They're so low. And it causes the bike to slide out from underneath them. And they're going like, whatever, 130 miles an hour, just sliding, and they pop right back up. Because the suits are made out of space-age leather. You know what's funny? When I was when I had my brief motorcycle riding career out here in L.A. before I smartened up and realized that I'm not a motorcycle guy. I am a fan, but I was riding scared, and everybody's texting, and something bad was going to happen, man. I actually was going like trying to think of how to protect myself. And I was thinking I was going to get either a Ducati or I was going to get that Harley, that throwback 70s one. And, I was going to buy one of those MotoGP suits. It was probably going to cost more than the bike. I thought it would be hilarious just to be riding a Harley wearing a GP suit. You look like you're supposed to dress like, you know, you used to be in a biker gang. There's something about being on a Harley. You have to wear like jeans. It's like not acceptable to have the leather on leather suit. Hello, lovely.
Hello, handsome.
What's going on?
Nothing. I was just going to say, you know, what's even more boring than watching racing?
You just don't like it at all.
Well, listening to you talk about racing is probably more boring than actual racing.
Wow.
Like, for hours, it feels like. Just a swarm of killer bees. That's what it sounds like. Just, you know, like, why, how, why? You're waiting to watch the crash, right? I was hearing you from the kitchen. Did you, like, that's literally what you're, because it's so fucking boring. Like, that's the level to which, like, the boredom you feel when you watch it, like you're waiting for an accident. Like, that's where your mind goes, to the dark place, because you're so bored. You're like, what if just someone just, like, crashed?
No.
It's that boring? God, it's boring.
No. I was saying when you first sit down and watch it, that's what you're hoping for because you don't understand what's going on. But once you start understanding.
Nobody's hoping for that. Nobody's hoping for it when they watch it. Is that why people watch?
No, I'm saying if you're not into it,
yeah,
that's why you would watch. You'd be like, well, I'll see an accident. I mean, everybody likes an accident.
At least.
I mean, everybody, like, when they see somebody's changing a fucking tire will cause four lanes of you know, traffic. People going, oh, is the car going to fall on his head? What's going on over there?
Yeah, the rubbernecking. The most interesting part of the racing, though, that I've watched with you is when, is it Lewis Hamilton? He's the champion, right?
Nico Rosberg is the defending champion, but his wife told him, well, now that you won the championship, it's time for you to pay attention to me, and he fucking retired. Or he was like, I don't want to deal with Lewis again, and he just left.
Well, anyway, was it him that iced out his teammate? And they were like, these two haven't spoken in over 6 months.
Yeah, it was like a whole Days of Thunder thing last year.
You could cut the tension with a knife.
Yeah, there's all of that stuff goes on. There's the pride of the country, the Ferraris, the Mercedes, right? All of that shit. And then once you get into like the different tires, when to pit, the strategy of it and all of that, it's amazing. And this year, the adjustments that they've made on the cars is way more passing. I'll tell you, last year was a little boring where it's like it was a race to the first turn. Whoever got to there first just held that position for the rest of the race because you couldn't pass them.
Wow. Riveting. Well, listen, I'm going to go.
All right. She's crying. Crying.
Yeah, go. And the baby's crying.
So all right. Go get
it. I don't mean to trash your interest. I just thought it'd be funny to come in.
You don't find it interesting with those motorcycles going that fast? Like the balls that takes? The fucking balls.
I don't find it interesting. No doubt. Balls. But not interesting.
All right. So you'd rather watch a bunch of balloon-titted whores screaming at each other?
Yeah.
Nia Renee Hill, everybody. There you go. And that's why, that's that right there. That is the fissure in our relationship. That's the fault line right now.
You know what? At some point, we're going to talk about the fact that you spend like hours watching people fight each other on WorldStar and all these other kind of websites. But then you want to come at me because I watch Real Housewives and people are arguing.
They never get to the fight. Every time they're about ready to fight, a cameraman breaks it up. If those women would beat the shit out of each other, I'd watch it. If you just sit there and say mean shit to one another while somebody dabs at their eyes with tissues. It still bugs me to this day that that white woman spit in fucking Miss New York's face, and they owed it to her. They owed it to her to give her a couple of fucking swings.
That's a good point.
Oh, the way she did the about face, like that was the end of it after she spit in somebody's face.
That's true. They should have let her beat her ass.
Well, there you go. That's why I don't like reality TV. Pop off! Pop off! All of them. Like she, they, oh man, it just, it drives me nuts. It's like, you know what reality TV is? It's like fucking, it's like blue balls the whole time. Here comes the fight. Here comes the fight. They're starting to swing. Ah, break it up, break it up, break it up. The tension just keeps building and it never happens. It's like, you know, when there's a big fucking UFC fight coming up, right? Imagine if they just kept running the promo and Joe Rogan just kept getting more and more amped up about how great the fight was going to be. And then it never happened. Right as they went to fight, Dana White comes out. Hey, that'll be enough of that. That'll be enough of that. And then you had to deal with the two fighters fucking talking to the camera.
I just felt like for me, I wanted to have a fight to decide it. But, you know, for me.
All right. I'm sorry. Let's read a little bit of that's, that is the number one fucking expression in reality TV. I know I say it all the time. I just feel like for me. For me, I just feel like for me that for me, I need to like, I need to just do that. But I'm not doing it for her. I'm doing it for me. All right, let's do a little bit of the reads here for the week. All right, give me the loot. Loot crate, everybody. On a quest for epic gear. Why all of a sudden does this seem really loud? I think I actually moved the button there. Are you on the quest for epic gear? Housewares and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. The best surprise you know is coming. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then try Lootwear. I never know what any of this shit is. What's a fanatical fashionista? Somebody into fashion. Is that alliteration or is fanatical a type of fashion? Shut the fuck up and read it, Bill. Okay. Monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy. It's fucking hilarious. It's, hey, you want to get fucking fancy? Huh? Come over here and get fancy. You'll have a problem with the family, baggy. Get a bigger box and even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. Bigger box. Jeez, you ever run into that problem? Wow. Big fucking box. I can't fill this up. Want to geek out your pet? Try Loot Pets. Offer expires April 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific. Geek out your pet. You just go, you want to go for a ride? You want to go for a ride in the car? That's their tail hitting the ground. In May's Loot Crate, you'll find items from Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Star Wars, Destiny, and the Goonies. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate, including a premium format Groot figure from Sideshow Collectibles. That is over 22 and a half inches tall. Somewhere out there, somebody's getting excited by this. I feel like I'm reading another language right now. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Go to lootcrate.com/burr and enter my code BURR to save $3 off on any new subscription today. Okay, the next one. Oh, it's our old friend Zol Zip. Are you hiring?
Where are you?
Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place. Oh, that isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. You got to whore it out there. And now you can. With old ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100 plus job sites, including social media networks like the Facebook and the Twitter. all with a single click. Find candidates. Susan Bloomstein calling. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into old Zip. Easy to use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, nice rack, and hire that person fast. Yeah, you're going to work next to me. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on Zip. It is for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. One more time. Hey, try it for free. Go to Zip. .com/Burr. All right. Oh, look who's here. MeUndies, MeUndies. No more sweaty balls. Do-do-do-do. MeUndies, MeUndies. Get them before the fucking fall. Jump on your motorcycle. Slide across the track. You'll shit your pants. And that's fucking... I fell apart. I was trying to get racing in there. I'm sorry. Take two on the MeUndies. MeUndies, MeUndies. Riding a motorbike. Do-do-do-do. MeUndies, MeUndies. My girl's straight. She's not up. Nah, then I get in trouble with gay and lesbians. Fuck. Let's see. MeUndies, MeUndies. Whacking my dick tonight. Do-do-do-do. MeUndies, MeUndies. My balls feel really right. It's nice and soft. Right down there. Is it underwear or a teddy bear? They're the softest underwear. I don't know. There's always so many different ways you can fucking sing it, right? Listen, people, elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. You perfected your wardrobe. But what about the stuff not everybody gets to see? We're talking about your junk, a.k.a. your family back east, your family down south. If you've been settling for store-bought underwear five packs, I've noticed it. Why would you be settling for that? You know, isn't it enough that some poor bastard had to sew those things together and then his fucking six-month-old had to put them in that plastic bag so you could fucking, you know, deal with parking down at the Grove? I have something that will change your life for the better. What is it? Oh, it's old MeUndies. What's the first thing you put on and the last thing you take off? It's your underwear, right? Unless you're Matthew McConaughey. Make your first and most important piece of clothing the best it can be with MeUndies. What is MeUndies, you may have asked? Oh, just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in L.A., Los Angeles, Louisiana, we don't know, and made from sustainably sourced micromodal. Modal? A fabric three times softer than cotton. MeUndies, softer than socks, soft. Lugs undies, L-U-X-E. Lugsy unders, undies, luxury undies. Come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns. You go, girl. You go with your soft balls. So you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. And guess what? You can save time. You can save money each month with a monthly subscription. If you're not ready for a subscription, that's okay. You can still save. That's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/Burr, and get 20% off your first fucking pair. So go ahead, revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Treat yourself. Once again, that's MeUndies.com/Burr, MeUndies.com/Burr. Evidently, Vladimir Putin wears them. In case you didn't know that, he wears them, right? All right. Framebridge, everybody. Do you have a thousand photos living in your phone and not a single one in a frame? Now you can get those great memories off your phone and on your wall with Framebridge.com. Go to Framebridge.com, F-R-A-M-E, bridge.com, like a picture frame. And, oh, London Bridges, but it's only one. By the way, the London Bridge is not the Tower Bridge. Everybody thinks the Tower Bridge is the London Bridge. That's the Tower Bridge, all right? The London Bridge is the London Bridge, and it looks like a fucking footpath that you can drive a car across. Okay, just know that if you ever go to London. All right, choose your frame or let their designers help you choose. Upload your photo from your computer or directly from Instagram. Review your photo online in the frame you choose. can't upload your photo art? That would be me. Should you stab your computer screen with your phone? Don't do that. No worries. You can mail it for free. Framebridge uses premium real wood moldings, acid-free mat board and foam board, and their acrylic glazing will never shatter and protects your piece from harmful UV rays. I love how they call your selfie a piece, like it's a fucking work of art. You're doing the YOLO fucking peace sign. The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item in 10 days, not weeks or months, and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Don't get stuck searching for a last-minute gift. Order now for Mother's Day. I was going to say that's perfect for Mother's Day. For Mother's Day delivery, go to framebridge.com and use the promo code BURR. Wait, but it takes you 10 days. Mother's Day is this Sunday. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code BURR. Framebridge.com, promo code BURR. Last one, everybody. CISO. CISO. Woo. Ever hear of something being a barrel of laughs? Well, a barrel might have been enough laughs in the days of horses and buggies, but you live in the now. That's why CISO's library of stand-up television and original content provides streaming laughs up to 1.7 mega barrels. And that's proven by science. All right? That's all real. Sign up now to catch brand new stand-up specials from the great Nick DiPaolo, from the formidable Joey Coco Diaz, and the new season of the wonderful Big Jay Oakerson's What's Your Fucking Deal? Or watch your favorite sets from comedians like the great Louis C.K., Amy fucking Schumer, and Hannibal Buress. Access CISO content from anywhere at any time using iOS, Android, Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Meow TV, Windows, or Xbox One. Ready for the punchline? CISO's just $3.99 per month. No joke. Less than $4 per month for all the comedy you want, anytime, anywhere, ad-free. Just go to CISO, S-E-E-S-O, Sierra, Echo, Sierra, Oscar. .com right now to sign up for 1 month for free with promo code BURR at checkout. That's CISO.com, spelled CISO, S-E-E-S-O.com, promo code BURR, CISO.com. What the fuck? Promo code BURR. Jesus Christ. How many times can you say it? How many times can you say it? All right, that's it. I got to go to the airport. I got to go see the Miami Yankees. Thank you for listening. And, guess what the music's going to be? This is the Night Game, the one I was telling you about, Dave Elitch's band that he's playing in, playing a sort of 80s pop thing with the 2017 flair, if I do say so myself. Look at me getting all Kurt Loder, right? And I've been telling you guys that they were a great band. I've been telling you guys that I saw them live. And have you been listening to me? I don't know. Maybe you have. Maybe you have not. But guess who just got one of the opening slots? How do we say it? Slots? On fucking John Mayer's world tour, huh? The Night Game. I fucking called it. I told you. So, here you go. I believe Andrew told me he's going to be playing the Night Game's, I think this is Outfield, this song, as we slide into the second half of this podcast, which will be, I don't know, a Thursday from podcast gone by. I have no idea. This right here is why I got out of radio. I just cannot intro a song to save my fucking life. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is the Night Game Outfield's coming up next, and then after that's going to be some greatest hits, a half hour of me running my yap when I was a little bit younger. All right, have a great weekend, you cunts. I'll talk to you later.
Home love, I can't control. You left me waiting, you left me waiting out in the cold. I know you try so hard to be so hard to get. But I can hear the way you talk under your breath. I want love, I can't avoid. I see a picture with other boys. Sometimes I feel like I'm just talking to myself.
podcast got me in trouble with fiance's family. Hey there, Billary Burham Clinton. I fucked up, man. As you can probably guess from the subject line, cue the oh, geez. As a little background, I'm getting married next month to my fiance, who is wonderful. Love of my life and all that. We were visiting her family last night and playing board games, which we often do. Oh, Jesus. Uh-oh. What happened? Were you drinking? Did you get competitive? Huh? Did you accuse her mom of cheating? He goes, I'll spare you the details, but we were playing a card game with a bunch of characters. Everyone gets the same people, but when you use them is really the key to the game. There was a particularly powerful card I had held on to until the very last stage of the game. The character's name was Granny Wada. Pronounce Gary Wada. I gave you the pronunciation and accent so you wouldn't fuck it up. Well, it is spelt W-A-T-A. Granny Wada! It's the last round of the game, and everyone's going around revealing their card. I was last, and my plan had worked perfectly. As I went to reveal it, my inner Bill Burr took over, and I really got excited. I flipped it over. Oh, you did it, he goes. Oh, no. Oh, no, he goes. I said, it's Granny fucking Water! Dude, you dropped the F-bomb? Oh, my God. I wish I had podcast T-shirts. I'd send one to you. No, you didn't. He goes, silence followed as it echoed through the house. My fiance's family were stunned. They're not super uptight people, but people just don't throw fucks around during a board game, you know? From there, it only got worse. My fiance has listened to your podcast, so she knows I was imitating you. She tried to stammer out an explanation. Oh, no. She had to explain away your behavior? Oh, dude. He goes, but it didn't really do anything. I also tried to apologize sheepishly. Then on top of that, that move gave me enough points to win the game over everyone. So I had to awkwardly mark my score, which made me the winner. Wow, dude. Oh, and you're getting married next month, so the fucking taste of this is still going to be in their mouth. He goes, we left almost immediately after, and of course I got yelled at all the way home. I knew I deserved it, so I didn't even put up much of a fight. That's your first good move in this story. Oh, wow. He goes, my question is, do I try and go out of my way to remedy the situation, or do I just hope everyone forgets about it and moves on? We're getting married in 6 weeks, so it's not like I can avoid them for very long. I'm pissed because I fucking crushed the impression, too. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Sorry for the Hillary Clinton reference in the opener. I think she's a cunt, too. I don't think she's a cunt. I just don't think she's an honest person. And I don't think just because of the fact that we've never had a woman president that that's reason enough to elect someone as dishonest and as phony as her. Anyways, dude, you know what? I would actually, without your wife, I would just drive over there and just say, listen, I got to apologize. I listened to this podcast. I'm a big fan of the guy. I was making a joke, and in the moment, I didn't realize that you guys didn't listen to the podcast. If you want, and just cue up a clip where you have it, which might be a bad thing to do, but like, just have me like saying something else. Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter. But then you might be fucked because I don't say fuck. Just tell him you're really embarrassed or whatever. I think if you went over there by yourself, I think, especially her dad, because I think that's the big one there. I think there's something extra when it's, you know, it's always extra. You know, when you're getting married, like, you know, if you're a guy, you know, the dad's going to be looking at you twice as hard. And the mom's going to be like, oh, he's nice, relax, you know. And then the other way around is if, you know, they have a son and he brings a woman around, like the mother's going to be fucking looking at her to see if she's a fucking, you know, an evil little whore. You know, the dad's going to be looking at you like, is this guy going to be overbearing and slap my fucking daughter around or whatever? You know what I mean? Is he a piece of shit, right? Oh my God, dude. Wow. You said it's granny fucking water. Oh God, dude. If you film that. Oh my God. Jesus Christ. Dude, I got to my tip of the cap for you there, man, for doing that. Holy shit. I'm getting uncomfortable just thinking about that. Well, I'll apologize. Can I apologize to your fiance for being a bad fucking, influence? Hey, you know what? Play this to your future in-laws. Dear future in-laws. Hello, I'm Bill Burr. I'm the one who says, granny effing water. I say this type of stuff. I've been the bad influence. Don't be mad at him. I'm sure he's a wonderful human being. I'm sorry he messed up your little card game there. Yeah, he's going to make a great son-in-law. You know why? Because he uses Dr. Cavi's Easy Shave Butter. Don't play that to them. That's not going to get you into anything. I was going to say, he listens to morons. He must be a moron. Are they going to have half a moron kid?
This is not the Monday Morning Podcast. This is the replacement for the podcast that I fucking made yesterday that, you're not going to believe this. I already tried to fucking do this and I've just been talking for fucking 20 minutes and I looked down and I wasn't recording. So this is actually the third fucking time I'm trying to do this. So I'm going to get right to the point on what the fuck is going on in my life right now. Kind of like, you know, when you break your arm. Remember the first time you tell the story? You got every fucking detail, right? Then the next time you tell it, there's a little less detail. And then by the fifth time, you're just pissed. And you want to smash your cast over the fucking person who asked you, how'd you break your arm, dude? Yeah, did it. What'd you do that for? Did it hurt? All right. This is what happened. I recorded a podcast on Monday. All right. And I was actually really excited because somebody sent me this really cool MP3 that they had made where it was an amalgam of all the podcasts I'd done in the background, you know, in the past, I mean, you know, just made this really cool like 90-second thing. So I was like, you know, that's awesome. This is going to be a great new thing that I can add to the podcast, right? Started off with my little 16-year-old chick flip phone, you know, cell phone. Those awful podcasts. Then I bought the Olympus LS10. Then I got a mixer and a microphone. You know, and you guys are probably sitting there going, how the fuck can he take this to an even higher level? There's no way. And I was about ready to go like, yeah, there is a way, you motherfuckers. I'm going to fucking have MP3 of the week and start having people send me in these MP3s. And I fucking put it into GarageBand. I edited the whole thing in and I turned it into a fucking MP3. And for some reason, GCast is not taking it. I don't know what's going on. But, you know, I'm sure it's me. So always ends up being me. So I'm going to figure out how to do that. And in the meantime, I will tell you a quick story. This is only going to be like a 20-minute podcast of what I'm dealing with in my life right now. I got a dog. I'm just pausing right now, waiting for all the animal lovers out there to stop going, oh my God, that's so awesome. That's going to be so good for him. He's going to be so good for him. Yeah, it has been good, except for, you know, a number of things. One, I didn't pick out the dog. I was on the road. This was a typical female thing, you know. Her heart was in a good place. She's like, you know, he wants to get a dog. He just doesn't know how to do it because he wasn't hugged
or loved as a child, so I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out and go get a little fuzzy wuzzy dog, and I'm just going to have it here, and I'm going to surprise, or whatever the fuck she was thinking, right? So basically, I'm on the road, and it's typical how women do shit like this, okay? I don't know what they call it, like, you know, finagling, manipulation, whatever the, it's whatever the euphemism is, it's they lie to you, you know, and they tell you in bits and pieces what the fuck is really going on. This is how she did it. She left a message and she said, "Hey, honey, it's me. I did something and it involves both of us. But don't worry. I think you're going to like it. Actually, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Just call me. I'll tell you what it is. Okay, bye." Click. Right. Call her up. And she says, "Listen, a friend of mine has a dog and she needs us to watch it for a week." And I was like, "Perfect. That is awesome. I'm a commitment phobe. 1 week, you know, that works perfectly for me." So I go, "Yeah, fuck it. Let's get it." Right. And she goes, "Great. Awesome. Great. It'll only be here for a week." You know, I'm like, "Cool." Next phone call. "Yeah, so anyway, so I got the dog. She's so cute, ba 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 ba. Yeah, and we keep it for a week. And at the end of the week, if we want to keep it, we can have it. And if not, they take it to a shelter and it gets put down." And I'm like, what? Wait, what? You just got us a dog, right? She got a rescue dog, the exact thing I've been making fun of in my act, the joke I did on Conan that got me all that mail from all the dog lovers. And not only that, it's a pit bull. Isn't that great? Huh? I'm just waiting for everybody to be like, "Dude, what are you out of your fucking mind? You out of your fucking mind? Fucking those fucking dogs, dude. I'm telling you, they're fucking loyal, dude. But I'm telling you, one day you look the other way, they just fucking snap. Dude, one time I heard about this guy. There was this guy, right, dude? There was this guy. And he had a pit bull, right? There was this guy and he had a pit bull. Shut up." So anyways, we got this fucking pit bull, and evidently they found it down by the L.A. River, and it's a fucking awesome dog. I can't even lie to you. It's a fucking great dog. It's a scary-looking dog. I'm not going to lie to you. It looks like it wasn't by the L.A. River. It was more by the fucking River Hades. It definitely looks like a hellhound, but it is a fucking sweetheart, and you know, by the second day, I loved the thing. I'm like, "Fuck this, we're keeping it." I loved it. I walk it down the street, people cross the street. It's great. It's fucking great. It's like having a gun that you can pet. It's a fucking awesome dog. And, you know, if other dogs have charged it, it hasn't freaked out yet. You know it's going to freak out. It's a fucking time bomb. I'm out of my mind. I should give this dog back. I'm out of my fucking mind. You just know there's a lawsuit at the end of it. That's the only way it ends with a pit bull. It ends with a lawsuit and a missing limb and a second cousin that never talks to you again. And the only time you see him is when he drives down the street in his fucking custom El Camino that he bought with the 50 grand you gave him. And he gives you the finger. He takes his one arm off the steering wheel, gives you the fucking finger, and continues on down the street in his lime green fucking Eldorado. Anyways, so this dog is the shit. I love having it around. I fucking love this dog. She's awesome. And I want to keep it, but this is the problem. When we leave, it fucks up the apartment, or it has twice. It scratches the door. And it scratched something else in the back. And it's like, "Dude, I don't own this place. Okay? I have a deposit. Do you understand that? And one day the landlord's going to come over to me and be like, 'What the fuck is that?' And then I'm going to point at you and you don't have a wallet. And not only do you not have a wallet, you don't have any money. All right? You dumb fuck," which means it's coming out of my deposit. And that's what I've dealt with on the last week, is literally watching my deposit slowly disappearing. You know, you ever been up like $2,000 playing blackjack, you know, and you're just sitting there like, "It's never going to end," you know, and your buddy's like, dude, walk away, dude. I'm telling you, kid, you up $2,000, kid, walk away, dude. It's free money, right? And you keep fucking sitting there and the whore's coming over there with the whiskey and you keep drinking, right? Then some vacuum cleaner salesman sits down and starts hitting on 17, and you start doing that dumb shit going, "Dude, that was my car. This guy's taking all my cards." You know, like if that fuck wasn't there, you would continue to win. You wouldn't. All right? Do the fucking math. How do you think they keep the lights on all day long with the air conditioning on and the fucking doors open in the middle of a desert and they still can afford to do it? Because dumb fucks like you sit there. And the longer you sit there, it's simple fucking math.
Dude, I got a system.
So I was like, listen, I'll keep the dog, but we got to put this thing in a fucking cage when we go to leave, okay? So I go over to Petco, okay? And I didn't want to go there. There was a local pet store. You know me, I want to go to the mom and pop store, but my girl's just like, oh, it's right around the corner from where I work. You know, and they got all this stuff. You know, they start doing that shit, and you just feel all the fucking, you literally feel the fucking energy draining out of your legs. You're just like, all right, we'll go where you want to go, right? And then they do this shit. What? It's just a, if you don't want to go there, we'll go. No, forget it. We'll go there. I don't know why you have to get mad. Well, if you just fucking, why do you ask me where I want to go if you already know where we want to go and we're going to go there anyways? Why do you put me through that fucking test? It's like fucking verbal waterboarding. It's brutal. So anyways, so we go to fucking Petco, and it's a typical corporation. It's 90,000 square feet, and they got two people on the floor. All right? And there's literally, like, people are gathered around the one person with the fucking apron that's the same color as the sign outside. So you're like, obviously they work here because they have a fucking apron that matches. It's the same color blue as the fucking sign. And there's literally people gathered around this person like they're famous, like they're waiting for an autograph, when the reality is they're trying to find a fucking flea collar in this fucking goddamn mega church that they have for fucking dogs, right? Jesus Christ, I almost fucking spun out of control with all the references here. Anyways, let me plow ahead here. Was that even remotely funny? Anyways, let's go. So anyways, get to the point, Bill. So, I'm fucking, they say, the guy's like, all right, I go, listen, I got a fucking pit bull. Evidently, it's a pit bull mix, but I think it's mixed with another pit bull because it fucking looks like a pit bull to me. The guy's like, all right, sir, don't worry. I'm gonna be over there in just about 10 minutes. Don't worry about it. So, I say, fine. And I stand over there for about 7 minutes, and I'm like, you know what? This dude's not fucking showing up. He's not fucking showing up. So, I just grab the biggest fucking cage I can find because I want it to be nice and roomy, you know, be a responsible pet owner. I don't want to be cruel. I don't want to act like a fucking puppy mill, you know? This fucking thing's huge. You could fit a fucking jacuzzi in the corner, all right? It's a big cage. So I bring the thing home, and lo and behold, a buddy of mine calls me up, says, tells me he's got a gig back east for the whole summer, directing a bunch of actors and some bullshit, so he's having a gig. He wants me to come by and say goodbye, so I say absolutely. My girl's not around. So I fucking stick the dog in the cage, all right? And I feel awful. The dog's standing there shaking like a leaf. I literally get the thing to go in the cage. It's facing the back of the cage, and it's not moving. It's just standing there shaking like it, you know, like it knows a fucking earthquake is coming or something, okay? So I'm sitting there trying to convey to the dog, like, dude, I know you're scared right now. You know, I know you were abandoned, but I'm not going to abandon you. Do you understand? You're just fucking up my apartment and I can't have that. So how do you say that? And how would the dog whisperer convey that? You know, I don't know how to do it. All right, dude, I'm coming back. Notice I'm leaving and I'm not bringing you with me in the cage. I could see if I was doing that. I could see then you fucking, dude, just stop shaking, right? You know that? You feel awful. Stop. Please, please stop shaking. So I leave. I go to the party, and the party for 2 fucking hours, all I can think about is the goddamn dog being scared in the cage, and it's killing me. It's ripping my heart out, so I'm finally just like, dude, I got to get out of here. I got this dog. I can't fucking leave it alone. It's killing me. So I fucking drive back, and I'm thinking, oh, this dog's going to be so psyched to see me. You know, that's the best thing when you come home when you have a dog. The dog's fucking psyched to see you, right? So I come home, and I open the door, and who's fucking sitting on the other side of the door is the goddamn dog. Just sitting there. Wagging its tail, dumping it on the floor. You know? Completely, you know, normal look on its face. Like, hey, Bill, what's going on? You want an egg? You know, I was thinking about making a late breakfast. What'd you get into tonight, huh? Yeah, did you get some pussy? What's going on with you? You know, I'm just fucking regular. And I'm looking at the dog like, did I dream that? Did I not put you in a fucking cage? What the fuck is, you know, what the fuck is going on here, right? So I walk out to the kitchen and I don't know how to describe this without pictures. The only way I can describe it is it looked like the cage got raped and then thrown in front of a locomotive. The fucking thing was like, it was lopsided. It was, there was a big chunk taken out of the side. And then there was these, all this blood on the floor. And I was beside myself. I couldn't believe it. And I want to say the cage door was still closed. She just fucked this thing up. And now I'm sitting there freaking out going, oh my God, she hurt herself. There's blood all over the goddamn floor. The amount of blood on the floor, I would have thought that she'd be laying there unconscious. And she's just sitting there looking at me, wagging its fucking tail on the goddamn linoleum now. So, you know, I'm looking in its mouth and there's nothing in there. There's a little bit. It's like one of the fucking X-Men. What's that X-Men? You know, you cut it and just automatically heals. That's what it looks like. It's just completely fine. So, I don't know. I was like half, you know, I was definitely bummed because I was out a couple hundred bucks, especially with all the fucking fuzzy, let's make this cage a home shit that I bought to put in it. But part of me respected it. I was like, God damn, this is a fucking dog. You know? And I was like, all right, evidently I bought the wrong fucking cage. So, Jesus Christ, I don't even know anymore. Fucking 2 days later, right? I haven't left the house. We haven't left the house and left her alone. We keep bringing her in the goddamn car. And that's another thing, bringing the car. She fucking stands there. She's shaking. Like, oh, fuck, what did I do this time, man? I'm getting abandoned again. What the fuck, man? You know, we're like, dude, we're not abandoning you. Will you just fucking relax and stick your face out the fucking window like a regular dog? Jesus Christ, you know, you're making me nervous, you know? So finally we're like, look, we need to have a life, okay? You know, I have to go out and do stand up. You have to be able to go work. I have to have, you know, we got to get another cage. So I finally go to Petco again. And I find one of those douchebags with the blue apron or whatever. And I go, listen, dude, I actually brought the dog. I'm like, this is what I have. This is what I bought. And this is what the fuck it did to it. Do you have anything to help me? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, no problem. That's what we'll do. We get one of those wire cages and we'll get it a muzzle. Because that was a big thing with me. I was like, I don't want the dog to get hurt trying to get out of the cage. I want a cage that it can't break out of. And I want to leave the dog in a situation where it can't get hurt. So it gives me this muzzle to put on the dog where it can still drink, relax, you fucking animal loving jackasses. It can still drink, okay? It could vomit if it had to, so it's not going to die like John Bonham, you know? A lot of people don't know that. Not only did he have 32 shots of vodka, they actually found him slumped over in a doggy cage, all right? Face down in a fucking water dish. All right, I can't believe I just said that about one of the guys I love the most. Anyways, so we get all the shit. I get the fucking cage, all right? And this time, we're doing like dog whisperer shit. For literally an hour last night, we worked with this dog. We walked the dog by the cage. We walked it back past the cage. You know, and it's freaking out looking at the cage. And the cage has two doors. So I got my girls, got both doors open. So she's got half her body in the cage going, come here, Cleo, good girl. And she would sort of come close to the cage and put her head down and wouldn't go in it. And then we'd walk away and we just over and over and over. And then 1.5 hour into it, nothing but positive reinforcement. All of a sudden, it was like magic. It's like a fucking after school special. She just crawled, walked, you know, like a little fucking Marine trying to go underneath barbed wire, went into the cage. And we were like, that's a good girl. And we were petting it. And, you know, my girl rubbed its head till it fell asleep a little bit. And then when it got up and it wanted to get out of the cage, we let it get out of the cage just so it had that vibe, you know, like this is your home. This is, you're not being punished. So then we do that exercise a number of times, another 5, 6, 7 fucking times, kept walking it into the cage, praising it, telling it was a good girl, scratching it. And then when it wanted to get out of the cage, we let it out of the cage. Write down the fucking dog whispering numbers on how to do this shit. So the end of the night comes. We slide this big motherfucking cage. Okay. at the foot of the bed. She likes to sleep on the foot of the bed. We take the two pillows that she likes to sleep on. We put them in the cage. We put her in there. And we close the cage. And she's sitting there. And we put out the lights. And then she whined. Sort of panted and whined for like 2 hours. Just going. Just like that. I couldn't believe it didn't pass out. That's how quickly he was breathing. Literally. Is that annoying to listen to if you're on a plane right now? That's what the fuck the thing did for 2 hours to the point I was like, Jesus Christ, Nia, let's just let the thing out of the fucking cage. And she's like, no, if we do that, then it's going to learn that that's all it has to do is that annoying sound, which I won't do again to fucking make you guys fucking teeth hurt, you know? So anyways, she finally ends up going to sleep. We go to sleep. The next morning she wakes up. We let her out of the cage. She's all excited. And I've been doing what I've been doing with this dog. I fucking run it up a goddamn mountain and I run it right back down. You know, fucking thing is all muscle. It's the shit, right? This fucking dog is awesome. So anyways, no roids either. This is all natural. So anyways, so today I get up and my beautiful girl's got to go to work and I had a meeting, you know, trying to come up with a show idea, trying to get a show on the air, trying to come up with a better idea. So it won't get squashed like a bug like my last fucking idea did right at the last second when I thought I was home free. You know? Gliding along free as a bird, then smashing right into a fucking windshield. That's what happened my last idea. But that's a whole nother podcast. We won't get into that shit. So anyways, we bring the dog into the cage. She's definitely, you know, we put the muzzle on it so it won't hurt itself if it tries to get out, which we know it's going to try to. I put its water in there. We close the door. We tell her she's a good girl. And we sort of, you know, I went out, did, you know, had my breakfast out in the kitchen. And I kind of peeked in the bedroom and it was laying down. The muzzle on, the thing was totally cool. And I thought everything's great. This is awesome. We have our lives back. You know, I got to be able to do stand up and I like to play drums and that type of shit. I like doing that shit during the day when I fucking can't stare at the walls anymore. So off we go into the wild blue yonder. I drop my girl off at work. I go and I, you know, hanging out with this other comic. We're trying to come up with a TV show idea. And I actually brought my shit along with me because I'm feeling free. I can go play drums. The dog is cool. And I was actually thinking halfway through, just like when I was at the party, I was like, oh, man, I got to get home, man. I feel bad. The dog's in the cage. I fucking love that dog. I fucking love that dog. I got to let the dog out of the cage. I'll hang out, you know. I'll play some guitar instead, right? And I'll watch the Bruins hopefully beat the fucking Hurricanes tonight in game six, right? That was my game plan. And so I come home like, this dog's gonna be so fucking psyched when I, you know, when I show up, let it out of the cage. It's gonna be flipping out, jumping all around. It's awesome. It's awesome when you come home and you got a dog, right? So I come home, I open the back door, and then we have this other door that's got this big glass window, and I go to put the key in, and I look down, and who the fuck is sitting there? Right on the other side of the door, just sitting there wagging its tail. The fucking goddamn Cleo. And I'm looking at the dog going, are you fucking shitting me? And I look at its face. It's got a little bit of dried blood on its muzzle and right by its eye. And it's happy as shit. It doesn't give a fuck. It's just wagging its tail. Hey, Bill, how was your meeting? You know, did you come up with any ideas? You know, don't give up, man. I'm telling you, you're going to get a TV show idea. You want to go for a jog? Ah, right? And I'm sitting there looking at this fucking thing like, dude, you got to be shitting me. You got to be fucking kidding me. And I walk into the bedroom, and here is this fucking cage that this douchebag down at Petco said I would be fine. Oh, by the way, the fucking thing still has the muzzle, but it's off. It got it off, and it's hanging down around its fucking neck like a bandana, like some douchebag in Prince's band way back in the day. Remember that guy who played the fucking guitar keyboard? The guy in the Revolution? Prince in the Revolution, right? That's the way the muzzle is. All it needed to be was like some sort of fucking neon leopard print. And that thing was good to go, right? So I come walking in, and I can't even describe to you how fucked up this cage was. And there is blood all over the fucking floor. And once again, I'm checking her mouth. I'm checking her paws. There are areas where there's sort of dried blood on her fur, but she's not bleeding. This dog is not from this planet. But this cage is. And, you know, I took a fucking picture of it. I should put it up on my MySpace page. This, I don't know what it did. I don't, if it just fucking started jumping up and down and slamming into the sides of it, but this, I'm looking at it right now. I can't, there's like metal. It's just twisted around. It's wreckage. That's what the fuck I have. It looks like the rest of the cage is fine. It looks like this, the front of the cage had a front end fucking collision with another car. So I don't know what I'm going to do, people. I have a situation because, you know, I'm all for rescuing a dog, but I didn't sign up for this shit. And I have blown over $300 in cages, and I've used both of them once. And this dog fucks them up. And, you know, I'm telling you, you can't talk to animal lovers because they're fucking crazy. Because they will tell you anything just to get you to keep the fucking dog. You know, oh, it's just because it's scared. It's scared that it's going to be abandoned. You have to build up the trust. And it's like, you know, that's not my fucking problem. I want to keep this dog, but what the fuck am I supposed to do? Okay, so there's my, this isn't a podcast. This is just me telling you why. Well, I guess this has no reason to do why there was no podcast. There's no podcast because I couldn't figure out how to go from GarageBand to GCast to make it work. So if you can help me with that, and if somebody out there has rescued a fucking pit bull and has gone through this shit, and they somehow figured out how to get the dog to be cool in a cage, because not only does it cost me a lot of money, this dog is injuring itself, and it's fucking killing me. So if you can help me out, I would appreciate it. And that is it. This is a very special Monday morning podcast done on a Tuesday. I actually have a cause. Okay. Oh, and by the way, if you got any new MP3s or any type of shit that you want to send me, you know, go ahead and send them. I don't know. You know what? Don't send them to me yet. Just wait till I get my first one up there that I understand how to fucking, or if you know how to do it, please let me know. That is it. I hope all you guys have a good week, and I hope I have some good news for you next week. All right, dude. Bye. Did I say dude? All right. Yeah, see, look at me. Beside myself. All right. Bye. Thank you.